Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, but Tucker Carlson's kind of having a conniption fit here with Trump. He's saying that Trump's basically not getting the job done and not doing anything he promised that he was going to do, and not putting the wall up and not getting rid of Obamacare, and hammering pretty doggone hard. And the sad part about this is, it's been what I've been telling everybody for months and months and months and months and months. So I kind of wonder how long Tucker Carlson's going to be allowed to say these things and not become subject to the New World Order and basically be put to a podcast like Glenn Beck and we are to get off the mainstream media. So I don't know. Have you seen any of those articles that Tucker Carlson was saying that, bud?
I haven't read those particularly, but I mean, a lot of the topics that he has discussed, even over the past year and a half, have been very, very borderline fringe as far as what the globalists and the mainstream media prefer to talk about them. He's had some pretty good rants and some pretty good topics. Pretty much the only person I have seen anywhere on mainstream televised news that has brought up some of the serious topics, even the issue that we saw in Syria earlier this year when we decided to send another, I think, 120 Tomahawk missiles into their country. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now that he keeps bringing up, and I don't think they want him talking about it. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident that he will be going the way of Glenn Beck and the other big guys that talked about this stuff, to be honest with you, because they're not going to tolerate much more of him.
Well, here's what he says. As Tucker Carlson says, Trump is not capable, and he hasn't kept his promises. This is he did basically a show the other day and on Tuesday, and he pretty much nailed him pretty hard. In fact, Jürs Gettiger, an editor at the Weltwoche, which means the World Weekly, in Switzerland's leading German language opinion, noted that Carlson's new book, Ship of Fools, is silent on Trump, but comments on his critics. Carlson said that he cannot stand Trump's self-aggrandizement and boasting. I agree with him on that. Then when asked whether Trump has kept his promises, the usually quick-witted, long-winded Carlson said one word, no. Although in a variety of voices, Fox News Channel has become the outlet often aligned with the current administration, at least in prime time. Hosts such as Sean Kennedy and Piero have taken near unequivocal positions in support of Trump and against the liberal left. However, Carlton is going from the center and basically nailing both sides, which is a very, very dangerous thing that he's doing. In fact, Carlson has come to believe that Trump's role is not as a conventional president who promises to achieve certain things and then does them. Instead, it's to begin the conversion about what actually, excuse me, the conversation of what actually matters. So, guys, I mean, we're back to this whole thing again that Donald Trump seems to be controlled via the, gosh, I hate even to say this, the Masonic lodges, the Illuminati, the One World Government, the Rothschild banking cartel. It always ends up coming back to the Rothschilds, doesn't it? And, you know, the thing about it is that if you look at what they're doing, if you take groups of people, and I'm going to say this very subtly this time because I got some new research on this, so I'm going to be real careful how I say this. If you take a group of people from Africa, from Somalia, and you bring them into Europe, and you bring down the IQ scores, the aggregate total of IQ scores of the people in Europe, and you create a mestizo race, which has been the goal of the New World Order for almost 100, well, about 100 years, a little over 100 years, actually, and you do that, you become able to see a person who has like 150, 160, 170 IQ. It's very easy for them to manipulate a person that has a 60 IQ. I mean, we talked about this show the other day. So the lower they get the aggregate IQ scores in the Western nations, including Europe, Germany, France, Spain, United States, the easier it's going to be to bring in their new world order, because the people simply won't be capable of having concrete rational thought and the ability to say, hey, you know, this isn't right, something's wrong here. Because remember, over 60% of the people right now in the United States are on some type of government welfare handout program, over 60%. That was huge. The numbers are high. And so the more people that are on the government welfare programs, the more people we dumb down with immunizations, the more people we dumb down with fluoride, the more people we dumb down with tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors, the more people we dumb down with statin drugs, which really dumb down the brain, the lower the IQ scores are going to go, and the easier it's going to be to manipulate. Now, we mentioned this before, it has nothing to do with whatever, just statistically fact, that the white people have about 100, 105 IQ, the funds guys coming out of Somalia don't. They're out of 59. And so the, and they brought the IQ scores down 10 or 15 points now in the United States for the aggregate total already. And the lower they can get it, because you got to think through this for a second. You know, if a person says to you, the Communist Party is great and we need to open up our borders and allow everybody from every country in every part of the world to flood through the United States into our borders and give them everything. Like they told me when I was in Washington, D.C. at the Antifa rally against the white supremacists back in August. Now, they really believed that, Austin. They really, really believed it. I mean, they really believed that if they we brought in 400 or 500 thousand, a billion more people into the continental United States, that we could pay them because the rich people have more money. It doesn't work that way. You're going to always have people coming in from other countries at 100 million a year. You can't sustain that growth coming into the United States. All you'll do is turn the United States into the cesspool pit that Mexico's turned itself into. And, you know, in all the South American countries that are cesspool pits where they eat cats and dogs and all the other things they do down there, trying not to starve, as in Venezuela now, which was one of the richest countries in South America. But Chavez had the audacity to ask for his gold back as one of the highest, largest oil reserves in the world. Doesn't make any difference. They can't manage it because of the communism they have going through the system there, and the fact that the Rothschild banking cartel has shut down the money supply and the working capital for that country. So, guys, these people are not playing for, how should I say, fun. They're playing for blood. And it's all about global dominion. It's all about bringing their Antichrist into that third temple, piercing him with the spear of destiny, just like Steve Quayle said the other day, and letting him rule and reign over the planet and wreak havoc. And all of these Christians that are running around who believe in a pre-trib rapture, that nothing's bad that's going to ever happen to them. You need to look at the pictures from Dresden, the bombing of Dresden in 1945, and you need to see what happened up to 500,000 Germans, women and children and old men, who were either melted into the asphalt or vaporized or strafed by P-51s while they huddled by the river while their city burned using 50 caliber machine gun fire. You need to think about all those Christians that were in that group. Another friend sent me a bunch of propaganda about how all the German people were into the occult and all the other nonsense and how the higher levels of the German government were into the occult. You know, I don't know how many people at the top were the fringe people, but I can tell you this. My mom was not into the occult. She was a very strong Lutheran. My grandfather used to lay in bed every night and just absolutely lift the rafters praying in German. You know, this he would go on literally often for an hour as he got closer and closer to his death. He would pray and pray and pray out loud, speaking to God in German, and we all heard that. We thought, wow, this guy's really devout. So when you hear that the German people were this or that or whatever, hey, there may have been a fringe group of Nazis that were a bunch of weirdos. I'm not denying any of that, but I'm telling you, the German people were not bad. Remember, this plan with eugenics has been in play now in order to, how would you say, mongrelize Europe and basically create a mestizo race now for over 100 years, as it has been with Sanger back in the late, early 1900s, especially when she started Planned Parenthood. It was all about eugenics and controlling the genetic pool of the population. And these guys are seriously, they really believe they have a different DNA, guys. They believe that they're like separated, that they're like able to be, like one of them is worth, you know, a billion, you know, people that aren't like them. And that's how they look at it. And they believe that if they need a liver from a person who's not one of them, that liver should be freely given from another person, should be killed. This is how they believe. And you think, well, these guys are nuts. I didn't say they were nuts. I'm just saying that they don't consider us to be human beings. They consider themselves to be a different species, so to speak, and that we're not, that we're like an inferior, basically cattle, sheep, whatever you want to call us. Their favorite term they use is goyim. And this is the whole point here. And this is that Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian group that started with Sabbatean Frank Lizzivi back in 1666, that was picked up by Jacob Frank, who brought the Rothschild banking cartel into it, who basically brought this whole sect straight into Luciferianism, into Satanism. And now they're the ones that run these Shabbat centers, these sects, this groups that basically really want to believe that, you know, that they're a doomsday cult is what they are. They want to bring in basically the rule of Lucifer and create a international global conflict that's going to create World War III to bring in their new world order. That's the whole goal here, and they govern from both sides, one at the other. So when Tucker Carlson is going out there and saying stuff like Trump is not capable and hasn't kept his promises, Tucker Carlson is walking on some really, really, really thin ice, because these guys control the media, Austin. They also control Fox News. Because this is, they got this positive negative poll going on, and they want to control everything from both sides. But see, they want the theory that Donald Trump is a good guy. I've got one of my hardcore Trump fans is getting kind of frustrated with Trump now, and he told me today he's getting a little frustrated. He hasn't given up on him, but he's getting pretty frustrated. Why is that? Well, here's why. You know, we have a complete congressional turnover here in less than a month, and you know, and now all of a sudden we've got, you know, we're going to lose control of the Congress. And all of these different committees and all these different things are going to be hardcore communists again. And that's how they control the, what you, I guess you would call it, the plus and the negative energy fields. And see, this is what they're trying to do right now with Trump. They want Trump to be used as their mouthpiece to continue to promote their agenda to the best of their ability, but on the other side, create an energy field against him to create this dichotomy, so they could actually direct a guy. This is exactly what Otto Kahn said they did back in the 20s. And so we've been pawns in this game now for over 100 years in the United States with this doomsday cult, this Sabbatean Frankist cult, in control of this sect who believe that they are a different DNA, a different species than we are, and that we're just cattle and we're soulless creatures. And it's about time that we had enough of this. I mean, I've had enough of all of this mess, Austin, because quite frankly, God is no respecter of persons. Adam and Eve were the father of this whole planet, and God created them in his image, or actually created Adam in his image, Eve from Adam, and Jesus Christ came and died for us. He was the exact representation of God Almighty. And so we have to understand the exact image of God is what the Bible says in Hebrews. And so we have to understand who in the world is doing this, why they're doing it, and it all goes back to the Rothschilds, to the Sabbatean groups, and to the international banking community that runs the planet via their demonic currency, they call it. I guess you get their Babylonian money magic. So I just thought I'd start off with that today, because Tucker Carlson is on thin ice, Austin. What are you thinking? What's your next story?
He is. He's on really thin ice. And as we see now over in France, the fact that they've pretty much pushed those guys too far to a breaking point. Because you have to remember, once people essentially lose hope, once people have nothing else basically to live for, once there's nothing else for them to preserve, they start doing what's going on over there. And ironically, I saw the fact that the Macron basically pulled the entire fuel tax from the budget thing. He said, we're not going to put that in there. We're going to take it out. Well, I found out today they didn't take it out. What they did was they deferred the hike for 6 months to try to quell the population into being submissive again. And now apparently they are planning a huge revolt this Saturday. I mean huge, to the point now, from what I'm reading online, that the French government is deploying 89,000 police officers and basically military troops, along with armored personnel vehicles, out on the streets, along with 8,000 riot police just in Paris alone. Apparently last night, this went viral, and I saw the video today, of a video of French police yesterday detaining high school students, non-violent high school students that were protesting. And there's a video of them in this courtyard, in the dirt, in the mud, on their knees with their hands above their head in execution style, facing a concrete wall. And I mean, there's like 150 kids in this courtyard, all lined up in rows, look like literally they're about to be executed by the police as they're being detained. And it sparked outrage last night. Apparently the video that's already been viewed by more than 2 million people in less than 24 hours has gone viral, and multiple, almost all the comments were saying anything from execution by firing squad to hostage taking to a tyrannical government at its finest. And it's really riled up these yellow vest protesters, is what they've been coined as now. And one individual that was actually interviewed, one protester, he called for Macron's scalp in a half-hour monologue. He said, we're going out there to fight this weekend. I want Macron's scalp. I'm not afraid of anything. I have nothing left to lose. You have to risk your life or you don't get anything from these people. They're going to try, apparently, to break into the highly and tightly guarded Elysee presidential palace where Macron is staying. And they're not even trying to be discreet about it. They're blatantly saying what their plans are, and they have hundreds of thousands of protesters apparently planning to descend on this palace this Saturday. So I can't say I agree with every tactic they've used, but on the other hand, too, when you start dealing with a tyrannical government that is fully out of control, this is what the founding fathers originally told everybody to do, and it looks like France is nonetheless going to try this as well, even though they've pretty much been fully disarmed. But that video last night with all those teenage kids basically on their knees with their hands above their head in that mud, looking like they're about to get shot in the back of the head and executed by this police, really, really hit a nerve from what I have read now last night with the entire French population, Dad.
Well, the problem is the German occupation of France. I'm just going to tell you straight up. This is what it is. And all of the videos of people being lined up in ditches and shot from dictators all over the world, not just Germany. I mean, we see this in China. We see this with the worst was Stalin. He killed more than everybody. And so this is the group of people now, a lot of them, you know, had grandparents that were in this stuff, and they were told about what happened. My grandfather was in this mess. I mean, he was there. He was born in like 1886. My mom was in it. I mean, they told me about all of this stuff. And whenever you go from being detained to the wall, and you're put up against that wall, or you're put down in that ditch, they're not there because they want to play tiddlywinks with you.
Yeah.
They're there to kill you. And see, the imagery, remember, we've talked about images before.
Yep.
When you put this image into the right brain, you take a photograph of a person up against a firing squad wall, and all of a sudden you see him get shot, you know, with a videotape. It really wreaks havoc in your brain because it's not something that you can't use normalcy bias to justify it. And so all of a sudden it creates this immediate reality of like, oh my gosh, this is real. They're lining these people up against the wall. Macron is a Rothschild plant. He was put under by the Rothschild banking cartel. He said he wanted to rule France as a Greek god from the throne. Those are his words, roughly his quote, but that's what he said. And this is what's happening now. In France, I will give these guys credit in France. These guys don't want to put up with it. You know, they lived under Nazi occupation. They lived under the fighting of World War I, where millions and millions of people died in the trench warfare. And this is still burned indelibly. When you go to the doggone cemeteries that were done, and you see just literally as far as the eye can see crosses of all the millions that died there, you don't want to play that game twice. And if it's coming back to tyranny, the people of France will have enough. And quite frankly, if France revolts, what'll happen is this, because they're part of the EU, the United Nations peacekeeping group, United Nations peacekeeping forces will pour into France, and they will bring in the mercenary armies in the same way they will do the same thing to the United States of America. This, remember, is a Rothschild. And you know, doggone it all. All things lead back to these doggone bankers, this Rothschild group and these Sabbatean Frankists. And the thing about it, you say, well, it can't always be about them. It's like it's about, every time you dig deep enough, it's about these guys. They're the guy who put Macron in. And they're the ones that have brought all of these doggone people in from other countries to mongrelize France and all of Europe and all of the United States. And I'm not speaking negatively as far as, when I say mongrelize, I don't mean as far as like, I'm just talking about destroying the DNA pool of the people who built those countries. And it's crazy to me, Austin, that people won't talk about this. I mean, we're like the only ones that talk about it. I mean, I don't really understand any of this. I guess we've left the realm of political correctness so far that, you know, it's done. I mean, even right now in Europe, they're saying that, you know, we have top people in England leaving England right now because they're saying that Europe is finished, English is finished because of what's happening with this immigration. And then we got this blithering idiot, this Cortez, this girl up in New York City who won the congressional thing. She's saying that, this is her quote. She goes, of course, she says, it's inevitable that global warming governance will create economic, social, and racial justice.
I mean, I don't even know. She's so stupid. She said, I mean, inevitable that global warming governance, this is carbon tax, will create economic, social, and racial justice. New York City's incoming socialist, communist, hardcore leftist Congresswoman Cortez says there will be only benefits and no cost to passing a raft of new climate change laws. In particular, she says the new system will usher in economic, social, and racial justice, suggesting the federal government should nationalize technology the automaker Tesla developed following its recent tax subsidies. I don't even know what to say about this woman. And when you ask her how this stuff's supposed to get paid for, she looks at you with a blank stare, says, it'll be paid for, it's fine.
Yeah.
And this is the best the Democrats can bring up right now. Austin, she's the shining star of the Democratic Party, and this is what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The dumbing down of America in the constant repeating of rhetoric that absolutely makes no sense at all, and you end up in a situation where you kind of scratch your head and you go, man, I feel like the whole world is being run by Forrest Gump right now. What the heck are we doing here? And that's where we're going from right now. In fact, it was the DNC chair, Tom Perez, is now also complaining voters are influenced by the pulpit on Sunday. And he says this is not good. This is from Breitbart, that voters are being influenced from the pulpit on Sunday, and the pulpit needs to stop. Wednesday at On Demand Justice, the Court in Crisis Summit in Washington, D.C., Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez, hardcore communist, says that we have to adopt a broader communication strategy because they're not reaching the voters who are influenced by the pulpit on Sundays. Guys, that's me and you listening today. Perez says that all we have to make sure is that we're affluent in what is happening across our ecosystem so that we can come to each other's defense, because we need to build a bigger orchestra. In other words, shut the pulpit message down, take away freedom of speech, get rid of shows like this that are telling you what's going on, because voters are being influenced by what we're saying and from their churches and from their respective pastors, son. What do you think, Austin?
Well, the reason why, this is why they're doing it. Think about this for a second. The reason why he's bringing this to light right now and he's making these statements is because they want to make sure they can control the next election. And what they're doing now is they're slowly setting the pretext. They're lighting the fuse to start coming in and justifying churches are involved in election meddling and election interference, just like Russia. You watch and see if they don't try to tie these two together and say, listen, guys, we have to go in now. These churches are 501c3 corporation. This is illegal for them to influence whatsoever in any way, shape, or form elections. They're election interference. They're either going to shut the churches down, they're going to revoke their tax code, or they're going to go in and arrest people. This is what we have to do now. We can't allow election interference. This is election meddling, just like Russia did. Bet money, if it doesn't happen in 2 years, it's going to happen. If he's bringing it up right now, if you've ever noticed with these hardcore leftists, they always bring things up very, very subtly, and then they start repeating them over and over and over and over and over and over again, just like we've seen so many times now. We need common sense gun laws, to the point now I actually hear civilians, people say comments like that, idiot comments like that. We just need to have common sense gun laws. You don't even know what a common sense gun law is. That doesn't even make any sense, because the problem with that broad blanket, you could justify any gun law as common sense. That's whole point why they say it. But this is what they're trying to do. And going back to that blithering idiot up in New York, that girl that I can't believe got voted in either, this is what I brought up last year. I started talking about this because I said, I'm watching our younger generation. I'm watching Harrison's generation specifically. He's 19 years old right now. He's in college and graduate program up at Florida State University. I'm watching a lot of these kids, the way they interact. I'm watching the way they protest. I'm watching how angry and belligerent they get because you basically don't call them by their pronoun, or you don't refer to a certain comment that they don't like, or you make a statement that's very factual and they don't agree with it, and they lose it. They completely lose it. They start screaming and yelling and cussing and kicking the ground, saying basically you need to be kicked off campus. You can't say things like that. And that's what they do. This is the next generation. She is going to be the future of the Democratic Party. The ignorant, completely and totally stupid stupefied, hardcore leftist communists that they want to start bringing into power very slowly. She's the beta test to see how far they can get away with bringing in a complete and total brainwashed moron to elect the population. She's it. So understand, this is not going to be uncommon, as we probably are going to see more and more and more politicians start coming into office that are this big of blithering idiots. They want to see how stupid they can make the representatives at the United States government level, because if they can make them so dumb and so brainwashed, it won't matter if we have a government by the people, for the people. It won't matter if we have a constitutional republic. They're going to be so stupid up there in D.C., they're going to pass whatever laws they're told to pass, because they believe, we need free health care for everybody for life. Everybody in the world can come to the United States. Like she talked about before, we need open borders and we need free health care for everybody. And one of the commentators goes, well, how do you plan on paying for that? Well, justifiably, if we look at it right now, that's going to cost us anywhere from $300 to $500 billion a year. Oh, it's okay. It'll get paid for. And with this idiotic grin on her face, and everybody goes, That's not an answer. How do you say it's going to get paid for? That's not a number. You're not answering anything. This is what they're bringing to the table now, and this is what they're doing. Because his dad said so many times, they're trying to drop down the IQ points of the entire United States population because they don't want the truth being spread, and that's why they're pushing so hard right now for the censorship of everything.
Right.
For example, we don't hear at all about the report from the Department of Justice regarding vaccine injuries and death. Nobody talks about it in mainstream media. I just saw this article just came out today from Health Impact News. It's because we see flu season in full swing. Every 3 months, the Department of Justice has to report on compensated cases for vaccine injuries and deaths in the U.S. vaccine court, which is submitted in three-month intervals every single year. The Government Advisory Commission on Childhood Vaccines is the one who oversees this, and they have shown that just in the last 3 months, millions upon millions of dollars have been spent for injuries and death just due to the flu shot in a three-month span. The December 6, 2018 meeting concluded that the government attorney Catherine Rees reported that there were 144 settlements for vaccine injuries and death just in the past 3 months. 89 of those cases were listed in her report. Of those 89 cases compensated, 77 were from injuries and death caused directly by the flu shot, making the flu shot the most dangerous vaccine in the United States, and I would dare to say in the entire world if you base it on a population basis across the globe. This is why I've told some people all the time, this is why I bring up the flu shot every single season, tell people not to get it. 3 month period, we see reported 77 injuries that are reported, and we have a death in a three-month period. And the main side effect is Guillain-Barré syndrome. Remember the guy in Las Vegas that I talked to you guys about at the beginning of the week that was completely healthy, 41-year-old? He went and basically got his flu vaccination. Within 48 hours, he was going into convulsions. He couldn't function. He was having minor paralysis. He goes in and gets admitted in the ER. Now he's been diagnosed with full Guillain-Barré syndrome, can't even function on a feeding tube, fully paralyzed from head to toe. Yeah, that guy? Yeah. The most common symptom from the flu vaccine is Guillain-Barré syndrome. And now think about it for a second, guys. Just drop this on top, just to let you ponder this for a second. So when you kill somebody, there's one death out of these 144 cases right here. If you kill somebody from a flu vaccine, okay, you got to pay out taxpayer money, which I still haven't understood that. It just goes from the taxpayers and goes right back to the people. But the person's dead. There's really not much more to clean up the mess. Basically, sign off, non-disclosure, they get paid, everybody shuts up, everybody goes home. If you can maim and injure and paralyze and absolutely debilitatingly cripple people, think how profitable that is. Now, this guy that was perfectly healthy a couple weeks ago now has Guillain-Barré syndrome, is on a feeding tube, is on a respirator, can't move, completely paralyzed, has to be under 24-hour care in a doctor's office. Soon they're going to move him out of there in some other situation, basically, to handle him accordingly. And for the rest of his life, more than likely now, he is going to have to be cared for through the medical-industrial complex, probably for the next 30 to 40 years until basically his soul departs from his body, which means it is going to amount to tens of millions of dollars in health care costs and medications and equipment just to keep this man alive. And I'm not saying that's bad. What I'm saying is it feeds the medical industrial complex, and the insurance companies love this kind of stuff. This is what it feeds. It feeds these guys billions upon billions of dollars when you have tens of thousands of people that are injured, paralyzed, hurt, and maimed that have to be cared for in the hospital setting for the rest of their life, all because they took the stupid flu vaccine. Guys, do your research. Do your homework. Don't let people inject you with compounds when you have no idea what is in that bottle. Don't do it. Do your research and understand how dangerous this vaccine is and why it should never be injected into your body, Deb.
You know, Austin, that was extremely well said. And also think about this, too. It's the same thing with the autism. If you can give enough people autism, we have millions of kids with autism now. If you can give a huge percentage of the population, not only do you unbelievably dumb down the population, but you make the system having to maintain these kids, and it's going to be trillions. It won't be tens of millions. It's going to be trillions of dollars because their parents are going to die, and their loved ones are going to die, or they're going to go broke trying to take care of these kids, and they're going to basically be left as wards of the state where you and I get to pay for them. And so it's just one of those things. Again, it feeds the medical, industrial, pharmaceutical Rothschild complex. Oh, there's that name again, Rothschild.
Yep.
And it just is what it is. See, this is, and once you understand who these guys are and what they believe, it all kind of starts to make sense, not from a logical standpoint, but from a kind of stupid standpoint. You're kind of like, well, if they want to kill us all and make us all sick and say make more money off of us and enslave us all, well, I guess that's their marketing plan. That's their that's what they're doing, and they're dumbing down. I remember years ago we were at the Disney World, and we were laughing on the ride Soarin'. And we weren't being obnoxious. We were just laughing, having fun like you're supposed to at a theme park. And some little liberal girl, still in college, comes walking up to us, starts yelling at us, tells us we need to follow her because we need to be thrown out of the park because we were laughing, and she don't want us laughing and having fun on the ride. And I've told you the story before. I'm not going to go through it again. But that's the mindset. Same thing happened last summer when I was, two summers ago, when I was in Greece and I was getting off the airplane. And that girl from one of the, I believe it was a cheerleader out of Clemson, went absolutely berserk because we were Trump supporters. Ed Harrison was with us, and he was trying to talk to her, and I was trying to talk to her. And she started screaming and yelling that Trump was a fascist Nazi. When I asked her why, she couldn't tell me why, but because he would open the borders up to the whole world. See, these are the types of people that go and become teachers, right? And they become hardcore leftist teachers. Like in Nebraska right now, their principal has been suspended. Basically doesn't. She hates all things Jesus. So she's probably raised Jewish. Her name's Sinclair. I don't know what her maiden name was. But she's been basically, and a lot of the Jews really hate Jesus. I mean, they really hate Jesus. They have an atavistic hatred towards Jesus. And she says now she has banned candy canes from her school before she got booted.
Yep.
Because it says they were in the J shape, which stands for Jesus, and she would not have any of that. In fact, an elementary school principal in Nebraska was placed on leave after telling teachers to avoid decorating their classrooms with Christmas-themed ornamentations so as not to offend those who don't celebrate the holiday. The principal at Manchester Elementary School, identified by a Fox affiliate as Jennifer Sinclair, sent out a memo earlier this week with guidelines as to what's considered appropriate for classroom decorations and assignments. I mean, this is crazy. Teachers were reportedly told that the generic rider-themed items such as sledding or scarves and the frozen character Olaf were acceptable. Decorations that included Santa, Christmas, trees, reindeer, green, red-colored items, or even candy canes because they were the shape of a J-like Jesus were not acceptable in the elementary school because she wasn't going to promote Jesus. I mean, this is where we are. Now, look what Facebook just did. Again, Zuckerberg, Jewish guy, absolutely hates Jesus Christ. You got to know he does because here's what he does. There's a picture that just went viral. It's a really nice picture, and it's Santa kneeling before Jesus Christ in his manger. That's what the picture is. It's gorgeous. It's got the light, the shining glory of God behind him. You've got Jesus laying in the manger. Santa's got his half hat off. He's kneeling before the Christ child. And Facebook has yanked it because they said that Santa kneeling before Jesus was too violent for Facebook, that it was violent and graphic content. So Santa leaning and bending down before Jesus was violent and graphic,
and was banned from Facebook. Now stop for a second, think through this with me. Santa Claus has been used by this leftist communist occult to supplant Jesus Christ and the manger scene. The other day I've got a friend of mine and I was very disappointed because he sent me a video of his Christmas presentation at his church. And it was basically a bunch of Santa Clauses dressed in costumes and reindeers running around. And the girl was singing, his daughter was singing, "You better be nice, Santa Claus is coming. If you're not nice or whatever, you're not," whatever, that's however that song goes. I don't listen to the Santa songs. And I thought to myself, compromise, compromise, compromise. But now, here Jesus is the Christ child in the manger. And they've got a cross behind it. You see the cross on the wall. And Santa's kneeling. And what they're doing is they don't want to mess up the imagery of Santa.
Yeah,
I'm gonna stop again. This is the right brain again. They want that right brain to see the image of Santa as Christmas and not the Christ child. And when you see Santa in a subservient position to the Christ child, all right, all of a sudden Jesus takes the precedence again. He's the priority of Christmas. And Facebook wants none of it. It's graphic and violent content. Are you kidding me? Wow. The stuff that people post on Facebook with the music videos they play, with the unbelievable sick satanic witchcraft that goes on in music videos, and that's all okay on Facebook, and a picture of Santa kneeling before Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, is not okay. It's violent and graphic. Boy, Austin, this country has slid a long, long ways, and until we can control this type of censorship, it ain't going to stop. It's going to keep sliding. What do you think?
Oh, you're right. I saw that article earlier today, too, about the candy canes. And, I mean, when we're reaching a point of political correctness, and that's what this is, it's a giant political correctness propaganda piece to completely and totally remove Christ and Jesus and everything. Everything biblical from the entire vocabulary. They want to wipe it out. They want to blot his name from everything. This is the goal. This is the stated goal because they want to completely and totally make sure that every man's heart is evil all the time, just like Genesis chapter 6. Remember, I read to you guys from Genesis back with Lot, with Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, I talked to you guys about that a couple weeks ago, how this is why hardly anybody ever brings up that entire story in the church either. Why? Because it's too graphic. Because people don't want to talk about how bad it was. This is the goal. This is how they want to take it. When the angels come into the city and every man, young and old, surround Lot's house and demand he send the angels outside so they can rape them. That's how perverted and how demented it becomes when you allow these guys to have full access to everything. This is why they have to remove every single faction, even if it's a tiny amount, from Jesus Christ. They have to remove it because they don't want anybody discussing what is going on. They want to push everybody's dead set. I see some of the most graphic, satanic, disgusting music videos that I've ever seen presented in my lifetime on Facebook sometimes. When I've been on there for work stuff or people have sent me things and it's a Facebook link, it's disgusting. I mean, some of the stuff that Katy Perry and some of those other girls have done, and I'm like, I don't even want to watch it. Definitely don't want to listen to it. That's fine. You can run it on Facebook all day long. It's okay. Everybody see it. No mature audience, no restriction, nothing. But then you have a photo like this, and they say it's too violent imagery. Exactly what Dad says. They're trying to completely and totally remove that from everybody knowing what the real truth and what the real background of Christmas is. Also, too, in a mid-controversy over the Chinese social credit score system, Microsoft and MasterCard have now coupled as developing a universally recognized digital identity that they want to release into the public by 2020. Imagine that. Same time the social credit score is going to be rolling in China. The plan, which Fast Company Cale Guthrie Wiseman has criticized as extremely frightening, and revolves around creating a digital identity people will use when they drive, apply for a job, rent a home, or board a plane, according to the recent tweet by MasterCard News. This is from MasterCard News. This is what they specifically said. Voting, driving, applying for a job, renting a home, getting married, and boarding a plane. What do all these have in common? You need to prove your identity. Well, here at MasterCard, in partnership with Microsoft, we are working to create a universally recognized digital identity coming soon to you. What this announcement seems to be describing is a streamlined identification system not too far off from the social credit score in China, where people are identified under a universal protocol that checks in on them at various points during their life, when they vote, when they're married, so forth. It's a kind of citizen check system a totalitarian regime could only dream of, says Wiseman. And remember, I told you guys a couple months ago, and I've been saying it, since China's been getting this implemented, this is too good of a system from a globalist standpoint to go to waste just in China. They're going to bring it over to the United States. And the more that we capitulate to these things, and the more we get censorship, and the more that they block what we're allowed to say and what we can do and what we can talk about on these radio shows and on social media, the closer every time little baby steps to going to that full-blown totalitarian communist regime like they have in communist China right now, where literally it doesn't matter what you do. If you look at something on your phone, you walk into the wrong store, you hang out with the wrong person, you jaywalk, you smoke out in public in an area that's not designated for smoking. Anything you do that's considered an infraction, bam, goes against your social credit score and immediately drops you down points to once you reach a certain limit, you can no longer fly or board a plane. Oh, and then when you drop even lower, you can't even rent a house or buy a house. Oh, and when it goes even low, you can't even buy food or go into a store unless it's in the slumville at the end of the street that basically where everybody else goes because their social credit score is so low because they haven't self-censored. This is where it's headed, and this is exactly what Microsoft and MasterCard are working on together. Remember, Apple, all with their little phone, their little bitten apple, forbidden fruit. Remember, a couple months ago, they had that ad that came out. They got a ton of flack, and they basically tried to do damage control on it when it talked about an online internet identity, and it gave you an identity score based on basically what it deemed your fraud identity to be. So if you have bought things or you've done things, it gives you an identity score, and if your identity score gets too low, they block you from buying certain things because it deems you to be a fraud or it deems somebody has gotten your card. This is where they're going, and they're doing all of it under the guise of protection and security, which they have always done for thousands of years in countries many before us. Anytime they can get you to compromise your freedoms and liberty for safety and security, you end up losing all of them, Deb.
Well, that's exactly right, Austin. And the whole thing with the credit score in China has been beta tested over there. Once they get to the point where they're no longer good and they can't buy food or groceries or housing, they're still good for organ transplants. I should have said that. Let me say it again. The Chinese government, if you really don't do what you're supposed to do at some of these big, huge warehouse complex, basically areas where they work, some of them are a mile across, they just take you out back and you just disappear. And basically, they use your organs to sell them on the international market. And you get basically, you give somebody a kidney or a liver or whatever. And that's why you always hear these really rich people. And they need a transplant, need a heart transplant, liver transplant, lung transplant, whatever they're transplanting. They always have them. They're always available. They're just always there. You know, they need a transplant next week. Well, they don't go on donor lists like you and I would. They don't get stuck on a donor list. They just order it and then somebody dies. Oh yeah. How about that? Because what I just told you, these cult members, these Shabbatists, these people that think they're, you know, 1,000 times better than one of us. They just feel as though that if somebody needs a liver, they can have one. Their own writings, that's what they say. This is their own quotes. And, you know, why would they not be able to have a liver? Just because somebody else needed it. They needed it. And so, you know, if they need a kidney, just take a kidney. It doesn't make any difference. You find yourself wake up in a bathtub without kidneys. I mean, what the heck was that all about? This is why you gotta be so careful. That's why so many people, this is what it goes down to when they track every single thing you do and they know everything you're doing. And they also know if you got good kidneys or not. That's kind of sick. By the way, John Rappaport wrote a really good article. It's called Faking Medical Reality. Released it here a couple days ago. And it says, let me give you a couple quotes. He starts it off with a quote by Marcia Engel, MD. It is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reached slowly and reluctantly over my two decades as an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Another article, another quote by George Burns. The secret of acting is sincerity. If you can fake it, you can fake the sincerity, you got it made. The faking of medical reality is at the bottom of an operation designed to bolster the power of the medical cartel, one of the most important forces on the planet. What the doctors rely on, what the medical schools rely on, what the medical journals and mainstream medical reporters and drug companies and the FDA rely on. The sanctity of published clinical trials of drugs. These trials determine whether the drugs are safe and effective. The drugs are tested on human volunteers. The results are tabulated. The trial is described in a paper that is printed by the medical journal. This is science. This is rationality. This is double-blind clinical research. This is the rock. Without these studies, the whole field of medical research would fall apart in utter chaos. Here's the problem with the utter chaos. When mainstream advocates attack so-called alternatives or natural health, they need to mention that the sacred profession is based on real science. One doctor told me, the clinical trials and published studies are what keep us from going back to the Stone Age. So now let me quote an article in the New York Review of Books, May the 12th, 2011, by Helen Epstein. Flu warning, beware of the drug companies. It ties back in what Austin said.
Yeah.
6 years ago, John Ioannidis, a professor of epidemiology at the University of School of Medicine in Greece, found that nearly half of the published articles in scientific journals contained findings that were false, in the sense that independent researchers could not replicate them. The problem is particularly widespread in medical schools, where peer-reviewed articles in medical journals can be crucial in influencing multi-million-dollar, sometimes billion-dollar spending decisions. It would be surprising if a conflict of interest did not sometimes compromise editorial neutrality, and in the case of medical researchers, the sources are obviously biased. This is what's going on, guys. The amount of stuff that they're giving you, the research that's being done, is fake. It's not real. It's being set up in a way to give the examples, to give the research to people who are doing the research, the right answers based upon what the person who is paying for the research wants. Let me give you an example. You do aspartame studies, and you basically want to see if the rats die from aspartame, which is NutraSweet, which is used in diet sodas. This is something that really happened. And you put the aspartame on the bottom of the rat cage with the feed on top of it. And this is the control group getting the real aspartame. And the rats are too smart. They don't eat the aspartame. They just eat the feed and leave the aspartame behind it. And they say, oh, by the way, the rats fed the aspartame, didn't get sick. Well, the reason they get sick is so they didn't eat the aspartame. That's what they do. That's how it works. And all of a sudden now they're saying, and, you know, the group that, you know, that ate the aspirin did get sick, so now we're good. Aspartame's safe. No, it's not. In every study that was done, it could be replicated. It caused brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. In one study, every primate that was tested with aspartame developed grand mal epileptic seizures. Every monkey got seizures. Now, that's the real story of aspartame, but it was still pushed through by Donald Rumsfeld. Why? Money, 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 money.
Yep.
Revolving door of the Food and Drug Administration. That's what happens to guys. It's like, give me for example, we have a friend of ours who lives in Montana, and his daughter's like 15, 16 years old. She was diagnosed with leukemia here a few months ago, and he was basically going to lose the right of his daughter if he refused the chemotherapy and the radiation. I'm just telling you a story. I had to talk to him, and also, I'm not going to mention any names out of respect for my friend, lives in Montana. This morning he texted me and needed to get some information from me, and I asked him, I said, how is your daughter doing? Well, she's been in the hospital for 6 months, in the hospital, like in intensive care, on a feeding tube, going after one round after another round after another round of chemotherapy. And she's almost dead. And he was just beside himself. And finally, he started her on a whole food supplement protocol through her feeding tube instead of the hospital junk they were feeding her. And she's kind of stopped going downhill. And I asked him, I said, well, what about supplements? Can you give her powdered vitamins? Can you give her vitamin C through the feeding tube mixed in? Remember now, she's not having to chew it. It goes directly into her feeding tube, into her stomach. Oh, no. The doctor says, I can't give him any vitamins. I can't give him any vitamin C. I can't give her a multiple vitamin. I can't do anything. They frown on the use of vitamins. And then I said to him, I said, well, let me explain something to you, bud. I said, here's the deal. Your daughter doesn't have a deficiency of chemotherapy or radiation. She's got plenty of that. I said, it's not a nutrient. I said, the only reason we ever come down with cancer is because of a lack of proper nutrition, because the body doesn't have enough antioxidants to fight off the cancer. That's just the bottom line that nobody wants to talk about. And so when you intentionally not give a child who has cancer supplements and nutritional products because the doctors don't want to, It doesn't make any sense. If the deficiency caused the white blood cell counts not to work out properly, the immune system not to work properly, why do you think a continued deficiency is going to get any better? So we're going to poison that child. And it's, and the crazy thing about it is he's also working with some of the top naturopathic physicians from Bastrop College, and even they can't get in the medical system vitamin C intravenously given to her. I mean, so it's a disaster when you have a child come down with cancer that's underage in all 50 states, because if you don't do what they tell you to do, if that doctor turns you in to the Department of Family Services, they will take that child away, and they will medicate that child and do what they want to do to that child without your permission. Just a newsflash for everybody on that. So, guys, doesn't it make sense to eat organic? Doesn't it make sense to take your vitamins? Doesn't it make sense to take your vitamin C and your potassium iodine and your vitamin E and your and all of the and, the and the ultimate multiple powder and all of the things that I take every single day? A lot of that stuff goes dumped right in my protein shake, along with the coconut oil, MCT oil that we have that helps to burn body fat and maintain brain function. Doesn't it make sense to not get a deficiency to begin with and stay healthy? That's the whole key. Now, you see, here's the problem. If you give them a natural supplement and they recover from the cancer, that's anecdotal. It cannot be, it basically is done in a clinical setting, and it cannot be used as a research study. It's only being used as an anecdotal study. So if you have 1,000 people come through, like, say, the Gerson Cancer Clinic back in the 20s, and they said the primary cause of leukemia was a lack of vitamin C, and it was subclinical scurvy was causing the leukemia, and they give, you know, 1,000 people vitamin C intravenously, even as far back as that, 100 years ago, and, like, the majority of these people respond and recover, that's not a true double-blind research study, and it can't be used. Doesn't make any sense to me. So here's the thing. Why in the world won't we open our – oh, that's right. I know why, Austin. Because the Rothschild banking cartel controls the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry, and the more people they can get sick to their treatment protocols, the more money they make, and the more they enslave humanity, like you mentioned earlier in the show. Oh, that's right. I remember now what the answer to that question was. And guys, you think, well, you're being cynical, Ted. I'm not being cynical. I'm telling you straight up what's doing this. They don't think you're a human. They don't care. You're an ant. You're a cockroach. You're a cow that's about to get led to slaughter. That's all you are. And if they kill you or kill the cockroach or slaughter the cow, they don't care. It doesn't make a difference to them. That's what you are. All you are is a means to an end to increase their revenue stream and to enslave you into sickness and disease until they can finally kill you and then basically do an autopsy on you at the end to get even more money from it all. This is all nuts. What we've allowed the Rockefeller, Rothschild, medical, industrial complex to do to us. Guys, everything I just said, nothing's an exaggeration. That's what they do. That's how they treat us. They don't see us as humans. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're right, and that's why they've tried to drug down the population. We have this Xanax generation now. I was reading earlier again how bad this stuff's getting, you know, and I was pulling up some numbers. Just back in 2006, you know, they were looking at numbers of 36 million prescriptions written every single year, and as far as of that product and any other alprazolam containing drugs, and they said by 2004 to 2009, Xanax saw the largest pharmaceutical increase in production by 148%, only second to OxyContin. And the thing about this is now in 2011, there were 48 million prescriptions of Xanax written to currently, as of last year, we're pushing on the precipice of 60 million prescriptions of Xanax written every single year. And this stuff is becoming unbelievably addictive. They're on average now of 150,000 to 175,000 people per year end up visiting the U.S. emergency rooms because of complications related to Xanax usage. And I personally believe it's higher than that if you add in any type of other recreational usage, because a lot of times people that have issues with this stuff, they're not going to go to the doctor if they're not holding a prescription of it because they don't want to get in trouble. But what we're seeing now is the level of addiction and the amount of kids, and I don't mean like 18, 19-year-old kids. I mean like 10 and 11 and 12-year-old kids that are being prescribed this stuff for anti-anxiety, anti-depression, just asinine stuff. Now, there's statistics from public health in England showed that 315 cases last year alone in which those under the age of 18 were treated with Xanax to treat anxiety and insomnia. Earlier this year, the investigation found that pupils as young as 11 were taking anti-anxiety drugs with 240 ambulance callouts for children who had taken medication like Xanax. So this stuff has again started to come close to not yet, but is becoming a huge issue because, see, the opioids, you know, they're pretty bad, you know, but the problem with the Xanax is there's no useful purpose to it. Morphine has a very useful purpose. You have a compound fracture and you have your bone sticking out of your arm and they're trying to basically tourniquet you and hold you down, and it's unbelievably painful. Morphine's a heck of a drug, and it's been used since, like I said before, the beginning of the 1800s. Xanax, in my opinion, there's really no useful purpose for it. It's considered an anti-anxiety drug, but the problem is it turns you into a zombie, and it's incredibly addictive. It's not necessary at all, and we're seeing this being prescribed to children younger and younger and younger to what they're calling now is the Xanax generation, where a huge percentage of these children under the age of 18 have been on Xanax for years now, and even if you do your own research, you will find that Xanax and Alprazolam, any of those drugs in the same category, benzodiazepines, are not designed to be used longer than 8 months at a time.
That's right.
You can find and read
right.
that on the thing. And that's an extremely long time to be on them. Dude, we're talking these kids are 11, 12 years old. By the time they're 17, 18, they've been on this stuff for 5, 6 years already. Now, here's the issue with that.
Get off.
Their brains are not developed. Their chemical imbalance is so off the wall, nobody can figure out how to balance everything out yet. So if they say, hey, we need to take these kids off Xanax, they've been on it for 6 years, it's impeding brain development. Development because of how toxic this stuff is, the dopamine receptors, they say, okay, we'll try to take them off of it. They literally have life-threatening withdrawals, and they have to come off of it one tiny little tab break at a time. You got to slowly, slowly, slowly titrate your dosage down, or else this stuff can actually kill you from the withdrawals on it. Nobody wants to talk about that at all. Everybody's talking about the opiates, which are a huge problem, I'm not going to lie, but we're also seeing this stuff like fentanyl and Mexican fentanyl and heroin coming in from Afghanistan that, in my opinion, can be easily controlled and prevented, but they don't want to prevent that because they love having a drug-stupefied country that has no idea how to function, and now we get idiots up in New York, like that Democratic girl that's up there now, that are just ridiculous. So just wanted to add on that, Deb.
You're right, Austin. Guys, thank you for listening this week. Great bunch of shows this week. I love you. Got to pray for you today. Thanks for getting your supplements from Health Masters. We provide you the highest quality supplements. I mean, every single product we produce with Health Masters is batch tested for heavy metals. Every product. Because we want to have the highest quality supplements in the world. I love you guys. I appreciate you. On with Hagman tonight. I'll do the write-up, Austin. God bless you guys. I had the opportunity to pray for you again today. Talk to you guys on Monday, if not tonight. God bless.
Guys, thank you so much for all your support. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website. We have the new formula, Total Rest, on sale, and the Sleep Like a Baby Kit. Really good formula. Go on the website. Check it out. Be sure to vote for the product of the week as well for next week, and be sure to check out the current product of the week, the Adrenal Support, on sale now for over 10% off on the website. We appreciate you guys. We love you. We're going to get ready for the Hagman Show tonight, and should be another great show as always. You have a blessed, safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.